This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher Skis.
Hello. This is episode number 126-ish, and this is the Out of Bounds podcast. I'm Adam Jabber. I'm your host, and today we have another great episode for you, this time in the form of a conversation with Patrick Sons. Patrick, who I hope I didn't just screw up his last name, Patrick owns and started the company Norse Skis. Norse is a company out of Sweden. They make some wonderful looking skis, of which I have purchased a pair to try out for the upcoming season. This is the first pair of skis that I have bought in a very long time, and I'm excited. I mean, the stuff is like really, really nice looking. Construction-wise, it looks excellent. And Patrick has a lot of experience making skis with brands like Faction. So I had Patrick on the show. We chatted about what the brand is, what the brand means to him, why he started it, why starting a brand in the pandemic is a good idea. I'm just kidding. We didn't talk about why it was a good idea. And a whole bunch of other stuff. So I hope you enjoy our conversation. I hope you learned some stuff about ski branding and Norse skis in general. I really enjoyed this one, actually. So before we jump into this, I just wanted to say thank you to Sawatch Hemp. Sawatch is a sponsor of this episode and is a sponsor of the show for a very long time. Sawatch makes some of the best CBD product out there. They make everything from tinctures to salves to soft gels to like CBD infused oil, like olive oil at this point, which is so crazy to me. But yeah, the stuff is excellent. I live like that rub on stuff. I like swim in that basically. Highly, highly recommend trying some out. If you have aches, pains, weird sorenesses, that stuff is like really like actually the best. So you can go to www.sawatch.co, check out, use promo code out of bounds, and save yourself 15% off your purchase. Do it up or give them a follow on social media. Check them out. Their product is excellent. And like I said, they support the show. So I would love to see people who like the show support them. Especially if you're in the market for a CBD brand. Anyway, that's like all I use, like before they were a sponsor of the show anyway. The stuff is excellent. So highly, highly recommended. Please leave a review on social media. Please leave a review on iTunes if you can. It helps the show a ton, helps people find the show when they're looking for ski, snowboard, winter, outdoorsy type podcasts. We always can use a little help. Five stars gets us to that next level. So, without further ado, here is Patrick from Norse Skis. Who are you? Tell people a little bit about yourself, and then why we're here talking.
So I'm Patrick. I'm 34 years old. I'm from Gothenburg, Sweden. And, I've been skiing all my life. My parents are avid skiers, and I'm kind of raised in the garage with fixing with mountain bikes, skis, go-karts, motocross, a lot of that stuff, like just fixing with stuff. My dad's a car mechanic and my mom runs her own business. And so that's how I kind of went into industrial design and industrial design engineering. And through like working on Swedish companies like Husqvarna, stuff like that, eventually I kind of, during my studies, I eventually find my way into ski design on Faction skis. A lot of weird things took me there, or like places and opportunities. But kind of long story, but just extended my studies and I studied in Zurich in Switzerland and got in contact with Faction. This must have been back in 2012, I think. And I skied an early prototype of the Candide skis and I didn't like them after a few seasons in Japan and Canada. And I skied a bunch of forefronts and other stuff before, like came from full rocker to a full cambered Candide ski. And eventually we started talking and I did my master thesis on ski design for Faction in 2013, I think it was. And then it went quite fast. They grew by like 100% a year or something. And I was kind of part of that journey from, they were probably like five people when I got there. And then in the end, they were like 25. And then after 5 years there, I it was kind of time to move back home. Just things that happens in life, I guess. So I moved back to Gothenburg and I couldn't really stop thinking about all ski designs and stuff. So just as kind of a side thing, I decided to start my own ski company. It's now 2 years ago. That's kind of, yeah, that's my background.
That's it. Why? Yeah. So I don't get it. Like, why start your own ski company? There's a million ski companies out there, I guess, right? Like there's, and especially now it's like indie brands, like smaller brands are becoming more and more popular. What specific thing was it that was like, okay, I can do this better. Like, I think that we have a better opportunity here with Norse to make something that's unique.
I mean, I think that's a great question. I kind of like when I moved back home, I kind of sat down and looked at like, okay, what ski do I actually want to ski for myself? And I couldn't really find that ski in terms of kind of everything. There was one ski that was pretty close, but I just remember the graphics were horrible. And I was just like, I just can't
ride. What ski was it? Can you tell people?
Yeah, it was an Extreme from the Swedish brand, Extreme Opinion 108 Charger. Okay. I like Sverre. It had this like lime green kind of like eagle on it with claws and stuff. It didn't suit my style.
Yeah.
But also like this thing where I was looking at Faction and it's like, oh, you kind of, if I combine these three models, I have kind of what I want and what most people would probably want in a ski. And living in Sweden where, I mean, you have to fly to the Alps or you have to drive 5 or 10 hours to get some good skiing. You can't rely on multiple setups. And that was one of the things too. Like, I know it sounds like a lot of people have done that before, but just that versatile kind of one or two setups. I couldn't really find it because I think like a lot of bigger brands or, I mean, of course, over in US, you have more indie brands, but here it's not really that many of them here. And so it was just, and I also had a few ideas of shape and construction that I couldn't let go of. And so that's kind of how things started. But also like looking at it from a company perspective, it was also like I have parents who have their own companies, just trying to make everything a bit more kind of smooth and more sustainable in a few ways.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, the skis are beautiful. Like aesthetically, they're very simple. They're very clean. Like I think that for me, that was the thing that attracted me to the ski like right away. And I assume that's part of the plan, right? Like you wanted something clean and consistent, right? Like because the way it's designed, like you can see how the focus isn't necessarily on the graphic, but it's so clean and so simple that like there's something that's attractive about it, I guess.
Thanks. I guess that's kind of like how I'm trying to look at things kind of how to make them look well done or well thought out and just not like I'm going to change it every year. And same thing with the shape, just trying to make something that's kind of like, making that, of course they can always improve, I guess, but just try to make something good that will last for a few years.
Right now there's two models. Why did you start with two models and what kind of differentiates the two from each other?
I mean, essentially they're the same construction. They're quite similar in shape. It's just like to pick where you're actually skiing. It's like here, the Enduro would be like for the smaller mountains of Scandinavia, like a one ski for Scandinavia. And then the free ride would be like, okay, I'm going to the Alps, I'm going to US, I'm going to Japan, that type of ski and what type of skier you are. So it's like, you go to the free ride, you get more rocker, you get a longer side cut, slightly stiffer ski.
Right.
But they're quite similar, yeah.
So why, now, I guess, like, so the brand's been out for what, it's been 2 years?
This is the second season. Yeah, we did like a pretty small, just online launch last year.
So what is that, like, what's that been like? This seems like a pretty terrible time in theory to start a business, like, in the middle of a pandemic. Like, I know you started before the pandemic probably, right? But like, how has that been? Because like, you're kind of now thrown into this thing where we have no control over, like, you're at home quarantining, like, you have a stay at home order. And like, what does that mean for running a business? Like, how have you been able to navigate that?
I mean, I can navigate. I think I'm lucky that it's just me at the moment. Like, it's mostly my own money. It's my time. It's my, like, I can manage that since I don't have any employees and don't have too many shops. And I sell still mostly direct, so it's kind of, it's fairly okay. But yeah, just right now it's more like, oh wow, this could actually have been like a sustainable company already, and now it's more like I have no clue. Like, like, I mean, last season I only made like 60-70 pairs of skis, and we sold them and we ordered new ones, and they arrived, and then the pandemic showed up pretty much at the same time, and I sat there with a lot of skis, and I was like, okay, this is moving super slowly.
Yeah.
But then like here, you maybe saw the Enduro won the ski test of the Åke Skidor, which is Scandinavia's oldest ski magazine. And that helped a lot for getting into shops and just general awareness of the brand and what I'm doing. So that's like, I guess that's cool, but yeah, it's slow.
This is your guys' first year in the US too, right?
Yeah.
How has that been? I mean, it's only been a couple months, I guess, and it's kind of a late start. Like, I know Tom and Ben are the distributing people, but like, what have been some of the challenges, and what were some of the challenges getting into the US in general, right? Because it's not exactly easy to find somebody that you like, find a group of people that you can trust, or a way to get into a market that's kind of like, it's almost like a club in a way, you know, like skiing is a club. Like, all the big brands know each other. They trade off employees year to year. Like, everybody works for this brand, then they go to this brand. So how, being like a totally a newcomer, not just into the US, but in the industry as a whole. I mean, I know you have connection to Faction, but like, that doesn't get you like here, I guess. What was some of the struggles you had with that?
I mean, I didn't expect to get into US at all this year. And I think like late summer, Tom and Ben approached me, and I'm super grateful for that. But what kind of seems to work in a way is like in Scandinavia, Faction is not well known at all. So, the US, it seems like, yeah, exactly. I mean, surprised the most, but Faction is quite strong in US and kind of France, Switzerland. So I think that really helped that. It seemed that story that I was actually doing skis for Faction, then moved into my own company and obviously winning the ski tests. So you get like, I think for Tom and Ben, that's a pretty strong story, just those two things. And then, like you said before, like the look of the skis, which surprises me a lot too, but just, yeah.
The simplicity, I think, is important. Like, that's like, I bought a pair for myself just to try it. Like, I think that's like, I don't buy skis. I only bought basically it's a rule for me. Like, I don't want to buy anybody's skis. Like, I've worked in a shop forever. Like, you can get skis that way. And then I have the show and like that you can get skis that way. And I don't usually buy skis unless something is really intriguing. I think the shape is like, it looks like something you might like, right? Like, it looks like a ski that can do everything in either width. And I also think that there's, again, like, back to the way it looks, like, whether it's shape or just graphic, like, the simplicity of the line shows to me that there's a focus on something other than just, like, putting a bunch of pretty pictures on a ski. And I think that's a credit to the way the ski's made. I mean, who knows? Maybe I'm wrong, right? Like, maybe I go ski and I'm like, this is my least favorite ski of all time. I hope not, and I imagine not, but, like, it's possible, right? But I guess that's a credit in that sense.
Thanks.
What have you learned from Faction that you've brought to Norse in like that's helped you, I guess, kind of like start this brand?
I think one of the key things is to kind of combine that, you know, when you're a ski engineer or you work in a shop or you have so many thoughts about your own skiing, like, okay, I want this in a ski, and just try to kind of combine that with, is this actually fun for your consumer or for your market? Or like, as I'm kind of growing older a bit, like just stay away from those most aggressive skis and figure out like, okay, I'm not going to be spending 100 or 200 days a year skiing. Most people don't do that. Like, how can you make a ski that's kind of, it's going to perform well on those days when you're really on it, but it's also going to be like agile and easy to ski those skis when you're not on it or when it's like really hard conditions out there. I think that's kind of the key takeaway.
What was there anything while you were designing skis there that you were like, I hate this and I want to change this? Like what was it? And I don't want to like badmouth like one brand or the other, but like, because I like Faction. I think there's definitely some things that need to be changed personally. And one of them is just the way, like where they're built has been an issue, I think, especially in the US, we've seen that. The ski itself does really well because it's what people want. So like, I think there's positives and negatives to it, right? What was there anything there that you were like, I need to change this with my own brand?
Yeah, I think it was the whole timeline. I think I wanted to kind of make a good ski and really try it out and make sure that every change is kind of well tested and well gone. Like that you go through every change and you test it and you test it for a long time. And it's like, I feel like that was probably the main issue. Like you had to move factories really fast. It's still pretty high volume. You add models pretty much too quickly, I think.
Yeah.
Those are the few things. And I mean, also, but it's hard. Like they were so revolutionary with those kind of balsa cores in the beginning and it worked for Cantilever, but then it didn't work on consumers or like the way you try to go in as a new brand on the twin tip area and people drop huge cliffs and
yeah, you don't realize. Yeah.
No, and they don't. They're not Candy. They're not like a lightweight French guy who lands perfectly every time. And I think that's also where I've kind of aimed this company. This company, I'm not like aiming for that charger audience, and but also like adapt your construction to your consumer in a way.
Right.
I think that's kind of the one of the key things. Is
yeah.
I mean, it's always that's a hard. That's a challenge for them, of course, but I think it just takes time.
Yeah.
And I think they're on the right ways.
I think they are too, and I think they're making a lot of the changes that matter, but yeah. Is he a real person? Have you met him, Candide?
Yeah.
I'm convinced he's not real. Like, I'm convinced he's a fake, because you don't see him talk very much. He doesn't do very much media, and when he skis, he's already, like, he's basically, like, COVID prepped. Like, he's, like, fully, like, closed up to, like, his goggles and then nothing else. Like, you have no idea. So, if he's a real person,
Yeah, the first time I met him, we were supposed to have dinner pretty, I don't know, like, 8 or something, when he showed up at, like, 10:15. So, it's like, thinking the same thing. It's like, wow, he's, all right, he exists, but yeah, doesn't like to be shown that much.
Yeah.
But I think like what people miss is like sometimes when we did, what's the Audi thing, Ski the World, when he's into something like the project on those skis, like then then he's super on it. Then he just calls you whenever.
Yeah.
Literally, he's super into it. And then it's like then he's like anyone else, just like into a project.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely seems to have that aura about him. Like that same, like the super competitive type aura about him. Like he like needs to be, and I mean, I don't know him. I'm just speaking based on watching these things and being like, what the fuck is going on? You know, like that kind of reaction to everything he does. So it is what it is.
But I guess he needs to focus. Like I remember one time during, we were working together and I just saw his phone, like how it's constantly people trying to get in contact with him. Like,
yeah,
just he needs to filter out what he's doing. And I think he managed pretty good, I think.
Yeah, for sure. What's what's next for Norse as a brand? Like, what do you guys want to do? Where do you see the company going from here?
Well, good question. I definitely want to do a free ride 176. That's always been in the kind of pipeline to mm-hmm. add one ski. Then it depends. I mean, like, as we go, we learn things, but in a way, I kind of want to get these skis that we now like sent out, get the feedback, like really be close to people who ski the skis and see what, I mean, how we can improve. But I don't think we're going to do, I think we kind of want to support the shops that brought on the skis, people just like kind of be good to the people who bought the skis too. And keep developing, keep reducing the plastic on the skis. Just, yeah, smaller things like that. It's not massive things, but I mean, and from my perspective, it's not the brand where I would like bring on outerwear to be more profitable or anything like that.
Thank you for saying that. Like, that's,
I mean, that's a thing you think about all the time when you're in this business and you see everyone do it. It's an easy way to, if you look at big margins and stuff like that, but I'm probably more the engineer who would be like, if I were to do something stupid, it would be a binding or something.
Yeah. That's also dangerous too. I'm going to say feel like a certain other twin tip company has tried that before and it did not work very well. I agree with you. I think a lot of companies get lost in that and they like, and also I think the consumer gets tricked by it a lot too, because like, to me, it's like, it's very obvious when a company does this kind of thing. But to a consumer, it's like, oh, you mean Rossignol doesn't really love to make jackets? Like, that's not why they're doing it, because they really just enjoy making jackets. I mean, I'm sure someone does there, but I don't think that's like the goal for a lot of these guys. They're margin boosters in a lot of ways. So in some companies it's different, but it just depends on what it is. So one of the things I like about the brand in general is just your guys' ability to just make decisions on the fly, right? Like, as of September, there wasn't really any, as far as I know, nobody had contacted me about bringing the skis in the door in September. Now skis are shipping to the US, they're in the US, and people are buying them. So I like the ability to pivot so quickly. And I'm sure that's something that's like got to be nice for you to have, especially in a time so like when everything is so up in the air, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's kind of what we want to continue to do in a way. Like, if you're happy with the skis, and I always enjoy a good ski shop. We're not aiming for the kind of the big online stores and stuff like that, but just like, one of our first challenges now is going to be build up to just make a bit more skis, so we have skis on stock. That's the main challenge for right now. I mean,
Do you think that the US consumer market is like, how are you approaching it differently? Or do you think you need to approach it differently in terms of marketing the skis, in terms of selling the skis? I know this maybe is like a little bit out of your hands because you're using a distribution platform like these guys, but in your mind, is there anything different that needs to be like sold, I guess, to the market? Like, what do people like in different countries? Like, is that a thought that goes through your head?
I mean, not really. I think Tom and Ben has their thoughts about the market, and I'm trying to be like what you asked earlier, where we're going to go in the future. I'm trying to be a bit more technical. I think everything's getting a bit dumbed down at the moment.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so into the core and the construction and how that can benefit your skiing. I'd love to bring that more into the US market. But other than that, I don't know, to be honest. It seemed to be like, the way that, like, look at Volvo cars from Gothenburg, obviously, the way they're selling in North America is the Scandinavian style. So in a way, we should probably just show like how we're skiing. And
I like that idea. I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, like, I think that you're right. Like, people look at a Volvo and they're like, this is like, their thing is safety and like quality, right? Like, yeah. You guys have a product that seems really, really good and authentic. And I think it's good that your focus isn't necessarily the branding or the marketing. Like, it's making a good product that skis well. And I think that's something that will be nice for people to hear.
Yeah, and I think, like, to on that a bit, like, I feel like since I've been in the industry for a few years, I'm also trying to kind of design a company that could kind of be sustainable with only producing a few hundred pairs of skis every year. Mm. And I think that can kind of allow you to communicate on that and also improve the skis. Like, it's like everyone knows here is like selling wider skis to this price range is not, it's not a huge market. It's not as big as most people think it is. Like,
no, not even close. So awesome. Thank you for your time. This has been great. I will, I'll get this out probably sometime this week. Where can people find more information on the skis? If they want to shop, is there a place that they can go to get the skis? Like, what's the story here? Like, what's the plug?
I mean, yeah, it's pretty recent, but yeah, you can, I mean, for US, it's norseskis.us. That's the easiest. And then there's a little bit more information on norseskis.eu. And then there's, I think we're in 7 shops at the moment in the US that carries the skis. So, I mean, they're going to be out there during, yeah, late November, early December. It's going to be more skis out there. And, yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
Awesome. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you.
All right, I'll talk to you. Bye. Cool. That was Patrick Sanz. I'm not sure I should have asked him this, but hey. It is what it is, and this is how we're doing it today. So be sure to check them out at norseskis_US, I think is their Instagram handle, and also norseskis.us is their website. Probably screwed up both of those, but I hope I did not. I will put the actual links in the show notes if you are interested, and then we can go from there. Next week, we have a couple really awesome episodes, and I'm super excited to share them with you, and I am not telling you who they are. So, see you later. Goodbye.